Welcome to the Defense and Aerospace Report's weekly cyber report, sponsored by Northrop Grumman. I'm your host, Vaga Maradian. Joining us today is Suzanne Spaulding, Senior Advisor for Homeland Security and the Director of the Defending Democratic Institutions Project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. She served on the Cyberspace Solarium Commission and is a former Undersecretary at the Department of Homeland Security who led what was then the National Protection and Programs Directorate that has now become the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA. Suzanne, thanks very much for joining us as always.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
And by the way, congratulations on the grandchild as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a wonderful distraction these days, much needed.
Exactly at this time when it's very, very important to be spending time with family. Talk to us a little bit about election security, the infrastructure of which was discussed by the directors of the nation's intelligence and law enforcement chiefs. We've heard from FBI Director Wray. We've heard from Chris Krebs, the CISA director, who has been, as far as I can tell, working probably 30-hour days to try to ensure the sanctity of the election infrastructure. The declaration was that the infrastructure for voting in the United States is in good shape, even if Russia or other powers want to interfere with it. What did you make of that message? And as somebody who used to do this, how secure do you think our election infrastructure is?
Yeah, I thought the video message from the director of FBI, the head of NSA and Cybercom, General Nakasone, from Chris Krebs, the head of CISA, and from Bill Evanina, the director of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center, that the four of them thought it was important to come together and to make put this statement together for the American public, to reassure the public that they are on the job, that they are taking this seriously, and at least from Chris Krebs and from Bill Evanina, reassuring the public. And the bottom line message, which I thought was so important, was really basically have confidence and go and vote. And I thought Chris Krebs, you know, he's the one who's on the inside. I'm not at the moment, but he's been working, as you say, very closely with state and local election officials and with his interagency partners. And he said his confidence in the security of, he said, my confidence in the security of your vote has never been higher. And I thought that was a really important statement for him to make, and he wouldn't make it if he didn't mean it. And I thought that was a good sign. But I think it's important for people to understand what goes into when we think about election infrastructure and securing your vote. It is about protecting all of those pieces of the infrastructure, from voter registration databases to the machines you vote on to the poll books that will check your registration to the tallying and the reporting of results. But it's also the ability to detect if somebody is trying to or is getting through that protection that you've put in place. And both of those things have been significantly beefed up in the last 4 years. And then finally, and really important, is the ability to reduce the consequences if somebody does get in. We call that, of course, mitigation. And that's where, you know, when Chris talks about the a significantly improved audit ability of voting processes, that at least 92% of votes cast will have a paper record. That gets to that point of if there are questions about the legitimacy of the outcome, there's a paper trail and there are processes and there are audits that can be done to tell us what happened and as appropriate, reassure the public. And then the last thing that I thought that Chris said that was so important, I love what CISA has done with the 3P voter. Prepare, right. Have a plan for voting, participate, volunteer to be a poll worker, go and vote. And then the third P is be patient, that we may not have the results on election night as we're used to. And that's okay, Chris said, and he's absolutely right. And to vote with confidence. So there's that infrastructure piece. And then there's the information space, right? We worry about foreign malign influence and disinformation.
So talk to us about the disinformation piece, right? I mean, we're looking at the security of these systems, making sure, for example, that Russia, China, or anybody else can't hack, whether at national level, but particularly at state and local levels, which were somewhat less secure in 2016, although no evidence that anybody changed any votes, but certainly we were more vulnerable then than we are now. But now we're also facing a very, very active information, or rather, I should say, disinformation space, dealing with Russia, some from China, but that this misinformation is also being contributed to by, unfortunately, the president of the United States maligning the election system, right? I mean, so on the one hand, we had the senior most people talk to us about the infrastructure of it, whereas there is the potential disenfranchisement part of it. There's the disinformation side of it. Talk to us a little bit about what's happening to counter the disinformation elements of this, especially when voices in the U.S. domestic political scene are actually amplifying some of these messages because they see electoral advantage in doing so.
Yeah, it's a real problem. I mean, I think these four national security leaders coming together did so to try to reassure the public that the system is not rigged, that in fact you should vote with confidence. And because the risk, of course, is that you depress voter turnout by constantly alleging and claiming that the system is rigged, that it's all going to be filled with massive voter fraud. And of course, Director Wray made it very clear in his testimony in front of Congress that the FBI is not seeing this massive voter fraud. They're not seeing any campaigns, aimed at trying to pull off some massive voter fraud. Bill Evanina, who is our number one, counterintelligence official in the government, talked about what our adversaries are doing and efforts to undermine our democracy and our democratic values as we approach elections. And he was, very candid about all of their efforts. They are trying to depress voter turnout. They are trying to undermine confidence in our election processes. They are trying to use malicious cyber activity, again, to get in and potentially disrupt election infrastructure so that people have doubts about the fairness and accuracy of the process. They are trying to be in a position after the fact to make people think that the outcome is not legitimate. They are trying to steal derogatory, put out derogatory information, whether it's full, made up information, disinformation about candidates, or a hack and leak of emails, with perhaps altering those emails. Counterintelligence folks are aware of all of these risks and these threats, and the interagency is working on it. And at the bottom line, again, what Bill Evanina said is, to be clear, it would be very difficult for adversaries to interfere with or manipulate voting results at scale. Now, that's our adversaries' attempts to do that. It's much harder when domestic voices and at the most senior levels are also trying to delegitimize our election process and its outcomes.
Let me ask you two quick questions. One is a technical one, and the other one is a voting related question. One of the challenges that we've had in any cyber environment is that oftentimes you really don't detect a threat in real time, especially if that threat is very sophisticated. We have a tendency of finding out after the fact whether somebody was there. Are we where we need to be in terms of sort of on a real-time basis, given that we are less than a month away from the election? Are we where we need to be in terms of that real-time detection, blocking, and tackling to make sure that these systems remain as sound as they need to be?
So with respect to election infrastructure, the state and local election officials are responsible for, and that CIS has been helping them with, we are in much better shape for detection. We have shared with the state and local folks, the detection technology that we use at the federal level. And from public statements that Chris Krebs and others in his organization have made, I think we're in pretty good shape to be able to detect malicious cyber activity there. The other area we worry about is the campaigns. And while I'm involved with an organization defending digital campaigns aimed at helping campaigns improve their cybersecurity, campaigns still have a long ways to go to really shore up their cyber defenses. And so that is an area that continues to be an area of concern.
Let me ask you one last question, because we were talking about this. There have been a few incidents. Justice Department is breaking its tradition of staying away from election-related prosecutions for fear of undermining confidence in the system. A postal letter carrier is being accused of improperly disposing of ballots. So it's not clear whether or not there was a malicious intent there, but whether the right process was followed, not to apologize for anybody. And then we've seen one other instance, regarding a Trump voter voting on behalf of, right, voting twice effectively, right? Casting a vote for his deceased wife, or in the name of his deceased wife. What are these incidents, right? I mean, for some, this is, oh my God, look at this, how much fraud there is. What's another way of maybe looking at this? Because the actual verified incident of fraud is remarkably low.
Yes, it is. And I'm sure you're familiar with the results of the Brennan Center, a nonpartisan think tank, which looked at the rate of voter fraud at three elections. And it found it was between 0.0003% and 0.0025%. So incredibly low. And I do think that these incidents that we're hearing about, nine ballots improperly discarded, the Florida vote, a Trump supporter who tried to vote for his dead wife, the fact that these are so small and they are being detected should be an indication to Americans that this is taken very seriously, that there are careful processes in place, and that it would in fact be incredibly difficult to carry out and pull off widespread, wide-scale voter fraud. It just is not, the processes are in place. It is not something that voters should be worried about, and they should have great skepticism around such claims. A bottom line is they ought to, as these national security officials said, they ought to have confidence. And the most important thing that Americans can do to deal with these threats and the situation is to get out there and vote.
Suzanne, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it as always. And best of luck to the enlarged family and to your daughter and their family as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You take care.
Thanks for joining us this week. Please be sure to go to our website and check out past Cyber Report episodes, as well as our daily and weekly podcasts. Follow us on social media and sign up for our weekly newsletter to ensure you never miss the latest defense and aerospace report commentary and analysis. And finally, a very special thanks to Northrop Grumman for their cyber sponsorship. Visit northropgrumman.com/cyber to learn more. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.